Lord, let my words be thy words, but if my words are not thy words, let thy people be cunning to know the very same. Amen. Good evening. So this stands as one more story of Jesus' friends. He's got a lot of friends in low places. Thank you, Garth Brooks. And I can't wait to see all of you line dancing this Friday night. No, I'm kidding. We ought to do that. Couldn't you see that in the central parking lot right out here? String some lights, do some line dancing in honor of this exchange between Jesus and Simon, the Pharisee. Man, this is one of those moments where Pharisee is revealed as the way we understand them, a Pharisee, a religious professional, no doubt, who has got all the answers, who's got it all figured out, and then is struck dumb. I mean, just doesn't get it. He's just baffled by the easy way of Jesus, the friend of sinners. Tonight, I invite you to be honest with Simon, to be just as alarmed by how inappropriate this woman is in her show of affection and gratitude. This made this Pharisee uncomfortable, probably made other guests uncomfortable, even in a world where a great show of affection was common. You'd smother each other in kisses. You'd embrace some of those, the close talking that might alarm some of us, you know, in our private and personal lives. It was probably no big deal. As conservative as this culture was, there was always a tendency to be over the top in showing affections to friends and family. Jesus is inviting us to consider what being a friend of his looks like tonight. And being honest about where that friendship starts. You don't have to earn Jesus' friendship. There's no way that this Pharisee could ever figure out the way into Jesus' heart. I mean, people are friends just because they kind of feel like being friends with one another. You can't explain it. Here is a moment where it's maybe more than friends. And that's what everyone's thinking. Who is this? How long have they known each other before now? The whispering, the wondering. I mean, Jesus has already been called a drunk. He's already been called a friend of sinners, somebody who is known to keep this kind of company. And here we're given this threshold of how Jesus keeps his friends. It's a low bar, is what I'm getting at, to be friends with Jesus. He's not necessarily requiring you to do anything other than be honest, to show up. And to show up however you're going to show up. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have your theology right. You don't have to have your morals right. All you need to be aware of is that you have been forgiven a whole lot more than you can imagine. I mean, think about our confession that we'll make shortly. You know, in one version of the confession in our prayer book, we ask God to forgive us for the things we have done and left undone. There's a whole lot more that you and I have left undone than probably done. Maybe not you, but some, I'm kidding, I'm asking you, Walter. But this invitation tonight for you and me is to be honest about the radical embrace that Jesus extends to lost daughters and sons of Adam and Eve like you and me, and to quit the pretense. You know, this Sunday, if we're not careful, we're going to hear the parable of the sheep and the goats. Now you know where Cake gets the song. That's for those of you who know, you know, that band Cake. Anyway, Yeah, we would hear this parable that we'll read on Sunday about the separation of sheep and goats as somehow the sheep knew. The sheep were in on it, and they were earning it as they went. But the hour, the day of judgment is a total surprise. It's a total surprise. And the people who knew that they were sheep, I mean, they knew that they were devoted to the Lord. They knew that they were feeding the poor, but they didn't connect the dots. They were completely surprised. Everybody was surprised. Everybody was surprised. And so I think Jesus was probably just as surprised as the Pharisee Simon by this show of affection and gratitude. And at the same time, he makes the most of this opportunity to show us what the heart of friendship with Jesus is all about, which is being loved. Simply, plainly, we can't dumb it down any more than this. It's showing up and letting God do for us what he wants, which is what we cannot do for ourselves. To hear me tonight, say it as plainly as I can. This is why we're here at this particular threshold. The unknown God wants to be made known to you and to do for each of you and for me what we cannot do for ourselves. With the heavy burden that's in your hand. And there's no amount of conjuring that's going to convince him different. There's no amount of good behavior and show of devotion that's going to win his attention. You have it in full. You don't have to do any more song and dance. There's no more waving your arms around, no more trying to convince God to just pay attention and to receive some kind of excuse for your life. No. You were brought in from the total chaos of your non-existence, of not being for this party, to learn the way of the Lord and to know that he cares for you and the ones that you care for, the ones that you are here on behalf of possibly. He wants to do for you what seems absolutely impossible. And what is that for you tonight? He's taking care of what matters most, which is friendship. We are his friends. He's established that. This cross above the altar establishes that fact. It declares that you are friends with God. He's taken down the whole wall of enmity, all the complicated factors, whether or not you were pleasing to God in terms of holiness and understood anything. He's taken care of all that. He's established the relationship. He's the covenant God of Israel. He's always been doing this, and he's proved it again in Jesus. And so that heavy burden that's in your hand, that matter of concern, let's see what he can do with it. Like, let's trust him with that thing. Tonight, there may be more prayer ministers than people concerned and wanting prayer. But maybe prayer ministers need to be prayed for. Who knows? But what we'll have over the next 15 minutes or so is a time of prayer, of interceding for one another. And let's just see what God might do. There might be somebody who needs to be healed. There's somebody who's got a vision, you know, who had a dream last night and might need to talk about it. Might need to tell that story tonight because there's somebody who needs to hear that word. You know, I think too many of you are scared to speak in tongues or to interpret the tongue. I've never seen that this night. I've never seen an interpretation of a tongue, but I wonder if God's got that for us tonight. Some of you are like, he's talking tongues. That's about as offensive as alabaster ointment and hair and feet all mixed up together. I can't even think about that. It's just as disgusting as what Simon the Pharisee saw. Well, let's let the Lord sort it out. Let's see what he wants to do tonight. Let me pray for you as we begin. All right, well, we'll skip the creed, believe it or not. Go figure. It's okay. This is not a principal service of the week. It's an important service, but it's not the main one. So stand with me and let us pray. Savior of the world, by your cross you established friendship with all the last, the lost, the least of these, including us. So by your precious blood, by your cross, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you, O Lord. The Almighty Lord, who is a strong tower to all who put their trust in him, to whom all things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth bow and obey, be now and evermore your defense and make you know and feel that the only name under heaven given for health and salvation is the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.